Welcome to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones. Presented by Brighter Day Law, listen to the stories of the people who make Colorado Springs a great place to live and make our world better every day. We want to give back to those who give so much to us.
Good morning. It's another brighter day in the neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones, and our program is sponsored by Brighter Day Law. We have another staff spotlight this morning, and joining us is Ashley Dressig. She is Brighter Day Law's marketing manager and office manager. Welcome, Ashley.
Hey, Angela. Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm really glad you were able to find the time to come over and join us.
I mean, I'll always work out some time in my schedule for you. You know?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So we were kind of chatting before we got started here about, you know, what the program's about. And, you know, it's always our mission here at the Brighter Day in the Neighborhood to highlight professionals who are in helping professions that people don't really necessarily connect naturally with that. And I know because I work with you, but also because I've got your backstory, that what you do at Brighter Day is very much an extension of your heart to serve people, you know, around you, but in our community. And so I just wanted to kind of like give everybody an opportunity to get to know you better and hear your story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm from a super small town in western New York, outside Buffalo area. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you're ever in the area, Duff's Wings, better than Anchor Bar. Do with that information what you will. But
right. So is it the same Duff's that's like Duff's beer, like on The Simpsons, or is that
No, I think it's a different brand.
Thing.
Duff's
okay.
So like Duff's and Anchor Bar are the two most iconic wing places in Buffalo.
In Buffalo, okay.
Mm-hmm. And Duff's is superior.
Oh, you're just saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I just need to put it out there for anyone who's from the area or okay. plans on visiting.
You just threw down the gauntlet.
Exactly.
Basically. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a glimpse right there.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm from a super small town, and I grew up there and went to college there. I graduated from Alfred University with a degree in sociology and communications. And when I got to the end of my degree, I was like, oh, I have to figure out what I want to do with this now. I'm mm-hmm. an adult mm-hmm. and I have to find what my career is. And so I spent a year doing odd internships. So originally I did an internship with the Olympic Committee, focusing on marketing and social media. And then after that, I ended up at Walt Disney World doing their mm-hmm. college program down there. And they were incredible experiences that allowed me to network with and learn from so many incredible individuals who just had so much information and advice to offer and kind of put in perspective what I wanted to do. And a lot of what I was doing, I had a lot of experience in marketing and social media because I think entertainment and mm-hmm. creating experiences for mm-hmm. someone was mm-hmm. really appealing to me and allowing, like, helping people feel a certain kind of way.
Okay.
And I think marketing enables you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really attracted to that. And eventually I ended up, I had a few summer jobs in between the internships, and eventually ended up at the Olympic Committee full time as a communications coordinator. And it was so cool getting to work there because mm-hmm. it was a really small team, and I got to interact one-on-one with the athletes and really get involved in their lives. And it was such a rewarding experience because I got to learn so much from them.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like, mm-hmm. man, I'm getting paid to be here right now. That's incredible. And it just provided so many opportunities to grow and expand in different areas that I really didn't have too much experience with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had two really broad majors that kind mm-hmm. of enabled me to kind of choose whatever path I wanted to go on. You know, communications and sociology, you can kind of do with those what you want.
Right.
They're very versatile. And when I was deciding where do I want my career to go, I had a moment of, well, what do I want to do? There's so many things that do sound interesting to me, and
right.
I kind of don't know which way I want to progress with myself.
Right.
And I think getting the experience to work with people in different capacities allowed me to learn that I do like creating that experience and connecting with people
mm.
in a very light and fun way, and getting to use that dynamic in different ways. Like, how can we connect? How can we evolve and change and do things differently? How can we use whatever's popular now to interact with people in a different way? And again, making people feel something is just so incredible, and in getting to touch people in different ways. And eventually I ended up, I got a little off track there.
No, you're fine.
But eventually I ended back at the Olympic Committee with a full-time communication coordinator job, and it was really cool. And eventually I was looking for a new job. I wanted to grow in different ways because I felt like I wasn't necessarily finding what I was looking for there. And and when I applied at Brighter Day Law, I was looking for a job, but I feel like I got so much more than that, because the position that I started out with is not where I am now. And now I'm the office and marketing manager, and it's been so rewarding and so cool to really take on responsibilities that I haven't had a huge opportunity to. I have in some very small, minimal capacities, but really dive into things in a full-fledged kind of way. And it's been just so, I don't know, it's just been an amazing opportunity, because everything that our firm has to offer for our employees, for our colleagues, for our clients, for potential clients is incredible. And the relationships that I've been able to form there and the people I've been able to learn from and work with is, honestly, it's priceless. You can't really put a number on that. And again, like, I didn't know what I was looking for in my career, and I feel like having a job at the firm has really given me the ability to dive deeper into some of my skill sets and really feel confident in what I'm doing and explore new areas that I really haven't had the opportunity to.
Well, I want to talk with you, and, you know, you have really, and we've talked about it, we did move you from your original position to your current position because of just, you know, what you brought to the table. And so we so appreciate that. But I've heard a couple things that you've said today that, you know, I'd like to flesh out a little bit more. And those two things are growth, and that's all, and also that experience. It's that, you know, and I don't know if it started for you when you worked at Disney. I mean, because Disney very much focuses on serving their clientele by creating that feeling, you know, from everything, from like what the scents are in the park and the lighting and the way that people interact with you. And so there's that, but there's also that growth piece. And, you know, for us at Brighter Day, that growth piece is very, very important. It's important for us, you know, individually, as an organization, but it's really a lot about, you know, how we connect with our clients, you know, taking them, coming alongside them in a place where they are, usually a place they're not real thrilled to be, and then helping them grow as they navigate through that to the next chapter. And what I'm really enjoying hearing from you is, you know, infusing that experience, you know, that you've got a passion to infuse that experience with creating a certain kind of feeling. And I just wanted to, like, is that, what are those feelings that you are committed or are most interested in creating for people?
That's a really great question. I think what I learned at Disney is every minimal, small, tiny detail matters. And you're really creating the bigger picture, but you can't create the bigger picture unless you hammer out the most finest of details. And that makes sense,
yeah,
obviously, but you don't realize the extent to what that means until I was able to work with Disney and realize, like Disney is this universally recognizable brand. And depending on how you're interacting with Disney, you are immersed in this experience. So like if you're at Animal Kingdom, you feel like you're in Africa. And that comes down to the music, the sidewalk, the grass, the kind of The kind of food that they're offering you, mm-hmm. how people will interact with you, mm-hmm. the sayings that they'll say to you, and it all blends into this bigger picture of we're making you feel this kind of way. And I think what I wanted to, the feelings that I've been searching for or that mm-hmm. most interest me is making people feel safe, making people feel seen and heard, and making sure that they feel like they're not left in the dark and mm-hmm. that, you know, you are being recognized right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I've had a lot of customer experience in my career as well. And I mm-hmm. think that's lended to that a lot of, well, how can I hear what people need and how can I address those concerns in different ways? Mm-hmm. Or how can I can be proactive with those concerns? Or just depend, I mean, obviously this varies depending on the context mm-hmm. you put it in.
Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, understanding what you're saying in terms of just getting in there with folks and, you know, making a genuine connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk a lot at Brighter Day about, you know, what our firm culture is mm-hmm. and not so, I mean, we do talk about it as like, what's our culture between one another, but what is it we're here to do? Why are we doing what we're doing? You know, because quite frankly, you know, if you hire an attorney, most people sort of, it's a given that they're going to know how to, you know, navigate the legal case. Mm-hmm. But for us, it really is a priority to hear people, mm-hmm. to understand what their goals are, to understand what their fears are, to understand where they see obstacles, and to provide that sense of, you know, that sense of security, that safety net, you know, the coaching, the mentoring, whatever they need, you know, tailored mm-hmm. to who they are. And in order, you know, for us to be able to connect with folks like that, I mean, there really does have to be an intentionality, you know, in from the beginning, you know, time when you first call the firm, you know, in every interaction, to communicate the value that we place on each individual and each person who is important to mm-hmm. them, you know, related to the case. And so I think taking this holistic approach, like this bigger picture approach, that it's not just dependent on, oh, okay, my attorney cares about me, but everybody here knows who I am and knows not everything that's going on, but they know about the situation and they're all committed to assisting us, you know, me to feel safe, to mm-hmm. to feel heard, seen, cared for. You know, protected, whatever it is. I think that's a very, you know, it's key that you have that, you know, even as our office manager, even as our marketing manager. And, you know, marketing and sales is different,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's part of your job to communicate that heart, you know, to the people we serve. So when did you first really start taking that kind of, I mean, you did the sociology mm-hmm. degree and the communication degree, which are very related to kind of your passions here. So when did you first get interested in those things?
So when I was a freshman in college, I was originally a marketing major mm-hmm. and which is in the business school.
Right.
And then I took accounting. And
okay.
and then I decided it was not for me.
Okay.
And so I immediately was like, I got to reevaluate.
Right,
here.
Right.
So I knew that I really was really interested in marketing and I still wanted to pursue it in some capacity, but business as a whole, I wasn't sure that that was my calling.
Right.
So I eventually went to the liberal arts school and I took on a communications major and I loved it. I fell in love with it immediately. What first drew me in was theory and just understanding why these things are the way that they are and how to really understand things at like a much deeper level than most people typically think about.
Right.
And then eventually I was looking for something else. I knew I liked communications and that's what I wanted my degree to be in, but mm-hmm. I knew that there I had the capability to take something else on. And I took a prereq of an intro to sociology course, mm-hmm. which was on Tuesdays from 6 to 9, and it was terrible. It was right. 3 hours. It was so long. But it opened my eyes to how much I cared about people on a different level than communications. It felt like I was really understanding people, and I was getting access to this knowledge about, I didn't realize the world was the way that it is. You know, I think being from a small town, I think a little bit my scope of the world was a little limited. And I think when I started my sociology degree, I really got to dive into how the world works and how different people struggle with different problems. And a lot of it is systematic and just the extent to all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that it fueled my passion to know that like, I was getting to the bottom of certain things, or that I was able to make work toward things that mattered in a different way. Right. And I think that's what really drew me into sociology and marrying those two degrees. Well, it's one degree. Marrying those two majors. Right. And it was so great for my education, too, because a lot of what I was learning in communication, I was taking with me into sociology and vice versa. So it was really cool to add these different perspectives when I was writing papers or just diving deep into different concepts.
Right. You're listening to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. I'm your host, Angela Jones, and our special staff guest today is Ashley Dressig. So, yeah, when I was an undergrad, and I was in a social work program, and we had this concept, and I don't know if this is something that, you know, you learned about, but they called it Whole On. You know, which was taking a holistic look at, you know, individuals. So our primary focus was to work with individuals, like in a counseling type capacity, a service capacity. But you couldn't just look at like, okay, this is a person in a vacuum. It was very important to look at their, you know, experiences, traumas, current environment, you know, their health from a mental, emotional, physical perspective. Because, you know, if you didn't treat the person as a whole, and then as an extension of that, because we would serve, you know, to learn to serve families and things like that, if you didn't treat the family as a whole, you know, realizing that if you, you know, affect one part, it's going to have ripple effects, you know, within that system, you're really not going to be effective. And so did you, in your communication, just to clarify, when you're talking about a communications major, are you talking about media? Are you talking about, you know, how to effectively communicate ideas, or what? Is it both?
So it is. So the thing about communications is that it is so broad, and it's how you want to pursue it. Okay. So looking at the communications major as a whole, there's different routes you can take. You can do, at least at my school, you could do theory, you could do journalism, you could do video production, you could do interpersonal communication. Mm-hmm. There's so many different paths you can take. And of course, me being me, I was like, I need to take them all.
All the paths.
Whatever's offered, I want to take it. I want to learn more.
Right.
And so I think I was able to take a lot of different classes in communication. So it was kind of varied, honestly.
Mm-hmm. And then how that fitting in with the sociology, that kind of rounded out for you then?
Oh, absolutely. I think that I wasn't initially going to pursue sociology. After I took the prerequisite course, I was like, oh, I could do it or I could not. And eventually I just decided, why not? It does interest me. I'll really dive into it. And I think the more classes I took, the more I fell in love with it. And it surprised me how well they worked together, because I was constantly using what I was learning in my sociology classes to back up some of my arguments I was making in communications.
Right. We have kind of a joke. It's not my joke. It was one of my professor's jokes or sayings in law school, that the law is a seamless web. And the more that, you know, I just have worked with people, you realize that just the world, I mean, people's situations are, I mean, they're just, everything is so interconnected and very much informed by other disciplines, you know, that there's no limit on, you know, the experience and knowledge you bring. I mean, and I will tell you, every single time something new comes up, like I'm not familiar with that, I'll be like, that's interesting. He's talking about this new concept, you know, so I'm going down the Google rabbit hole or YouTube rabbit hole, you know, learning about a new concept. It is not, you know, within weeks, almost every single time that has direct application to something I'm doing. It's like I would have otherwise been clueless, but, you know, knowledge I don't think ever goes to any kind of waste.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think so as well. I think for sociology, it provided a lot of context in that way. And I think I'm definitely a person, and I think you are as well. Mm-hmm. I love learning. Mm-hmm. I think it is so fulfilling for me to like take on new things and learn new things and gain new skill sets and gain perspectives that I may not have had before, because it really does put the world it provides that perspective, for lack of a better word, but it does, and being able to see it differently and understand people a little bit better that you hadn't before.
So you played sports before college, or did you play in college also?
No, I did not.
And what sport? What's your sport?
Tennis.
All right, and so I kind of joked with you one day. I called you Smashley because you were killing something. I mean, you just were knocking it out of the park on some task or project I'd given you, and so I started calling you Smashley, and that's where you told me, yes, that was my nickname.
Yeah,
you know,
it was on my team. It was Smashley. Also, I had Italian Stallion for a while because of my last name so close to dressing. So like Italian Stallion over here. So it's very.
So what did you like playing more, the individual, like, you know, I'm not a tennis player, but I know there's doubles and then it's singles, right? And I have a close friend of mine is real big into the Wimbledon and, you know, the Open and all these other kind of things. So what was your favorite? Did you enjoy playing doubles more, or was it a solo or single?
It's singles.
Single, okay.
So I played both, but I loved doubles. Mm-hmm. I had this doubles partner all throughout high school. Her name was Sydney, and we were pretty good. We went to a state qualifier, and I fractured my ankle.
Oh.
And so we were beating these two gals who were seed number two, I think, and we were killing them, Angela. We were killing them.
All right.
And I was like, here we go. We're going to states. And then I rolled my ankle and I was down for the count. But it was so fun. I loved playing doubles because I had my doubles partner, and it was always a good time just traveling and going to matches and getting to play together.
How did you get into tennis in the first place?
I had a friend in middle school who joined the varsity team.
Okay.
And she was like,
when she was in middle school.
Yeah, correct.
She was on varsity. Wow.
Correct. Well, we didn't have a JV team because it was such a small school, so like a lump them in. But yeah, so she played tennis starting in middle school, and she's like, you have to play. And I had played softball at the time, and I played softball up until the end of middle school. And I loved that, but I knew I was like, I guess why not? I'm definitely open to trying something different. And then we ended up on a tennis court one day, and it was super fun. I love tennis. It was really nice because I'm not really a long distance runner kind of gal.
Right.
So it was nice that tennis was challenging in a different
little
way.
Little sprints.
Yeah, more stamina based.
Right. And so
and endurance.
I understand, and you tell me, but I understand like tennis in Colorado is very different. Because the balls and the weight of them, something about the air.
Yeah,
the something
about the elevation, is that it?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't know if you played much tennis here.
I haven't played here yet. I guess I'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, the one time I took some tennis lessons, it was in Colorado, and I did not find it to be super enjoyable.
Oh, no.
You know, but somebody told me, it's like, well, the weight of the balls, it's much heavier. Like, it's harder, you know, to... you know, I guess do whatever it is.
That's
return it, hit it. I don't know. It was me against the machine Lifetime. And I was just like, I know I have, you know, some friends who are really into this, but I don't get it. So
I think there's a learning curve for sure. Especially because if you can't control the ball, then it's just not enjoyable.
It's not fun. No, but I think it is. I think there's a difference in the weight. And so what other types of differences, you being from the East Coast, like in you know, going down to Florida and then coming here, what else has been like big adjustments that you've seen are needed, but you know, could be altitude related or not.
I know what it is.
All right,
it's the driving.
It's the okay.
The driving is the biggest thing. I'll tell you what it is.
All
so
right.
In Florida, I mean, everyone's a little crazy there. Everyone's uh-huh. going 90 on the highway. Here, I feel like people love running to red lights. We love running to red lights in Colorado. That's the biggest thing.
You mean running through them?
No, no. So like, you'll be on a road and there's a red light and you can clearly see it's a red light. Everyone is in such a hurry to get to that red light. People are flooring it to the red light. Same with highways. If there's a backup, people are flooring it to get to like the next part of the congestion. I notice it all the time. People run to red lights here.
But not in Buffalo.
People run through red lights there. if it's red for 3 seconds, you're still good.
Well, the thing I noticed is seriously how wide the roads are.
Here?
Yes. They're super duper wide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you feel like there's all this space on the road. There's lots of potholes on the road here. I'm not sure what that's all about. Mm. You know, that's one difference. But that was one thing. And you think from where we had just come, we were in Germany where the roads were very, very narrow. And prior to that, Hawaii, where, you know, there's not space to have the wide roads. That's the thing I noticed about that. And it seems to be a challenge for people to drive when it's raining. Not in
yeah.
snow, but when it rains. And I thought that's really mm-hmm. fascinating. But I love Colorado mm-hmm. Springs in terms of the driving, because the traffic, even though we're in a big city, well, not, you know, super metropolitan area, mm-hmm. but we're in a city. The traffic isn't like real terrible, like city traffic.
No, it's pretty spread out. The only time you notice it is on the highway at between like 3 and 6 o'clock.
Right.
Other than that, it's pretty good.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate your time and all of the contributions you make at Brighter Day Law. And when anyone calls in to Brighter Day, they're very likely to get you on the phone. So it's been very enjoyable to have the opportunity to introduce you and allow our listeners to get to know you better.
Yes, thank you, Angela. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you all for tuning in for another episode of Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. I'm your host, Angela Jones, and we look forward to having you join us again next week.
This has been A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, presented by Brighter Day Law. Heard every Sunday at 11 a.m. on KPPF, 98.5 FM, 1040 AM, and 95.7 FM. Listen to the companion podcast on Podbean. Brighter Day Law are an experienced and qualified team of divorce and family law attorneys. Their aim is to help you get through that emotional and challenging time of divorce and other family disputes. The mission of Brighter Day Law is to compassionately help families resolve their disputes with personalized legal representation while keeping the best interest of the entire family at heart. Their attorneys handle all kinds of family law cases, including child custody, divorce, high asset divorce, mediation, and alimony. Brighter Day Law, compassionate counsel in dark and stressful times. 225-4493 or at brighterdaylaw.com.